Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
The Long Box Guy's gonna do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, and with me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Jack's Appy Copper Legend, which is a leftover Oktoberfest, because I didn't have time to run out and grab beer I actually wanted.
Well, you have that whole beer fridge downstairs. Is that the?
It's running on empty. I haven't been out in a while.
We got to go restock. And how's your how's beer tube going?
Beer tube's going okay. I filmed a little one today, but I was disappointed in myself. I had enough energy, so I got to refilm it.
Energy is the key. Woohoo!
Yeah!
LT, how you doing and what are you drinking, sir?
I'm doing okay, and I am drinking some Cardew because I'm going to finish this bottle.
Nice.
God is your witness.
I think next week it might be done.
I'll never be sober again.
Do you mean the bottle's going to be done, or are you just talking about life in general?
I'd like to keep you guys guessing, so I'm not going to tell you.
Wow. Keep us guessing.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about LT now. I'm not going to lie.
Little cry for help, little just having fun, who knows. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent. Unfortunately, I just moved hotels, so I was not able to stop by the store and get any beer. So I'm just drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper. So I will be unfunny. I'm apologizing right now. And I'll probably be nice to you guys.
No, that'll be a nice change up. I myself am also sober as a monk today. I'm drinking a Diet Coke. I'm going to pick up my wife after this. It is my 22nd wedding anniversary.
Wow. That's right. Nice. Congratulations, yeah. Sir.
Thank you.
And who was present at your wedding?
The only one here, Josh Opper and Chauncey, my stuffed animal.
Way to make me feel bad.
I had to skip out on your wedding, too. I made LT's and Josh's. Barely. I missed the pirate wedding, and that kills me. Because you know how I love anachronisms. Speaking of anachronisms, today we're talking about Turok, Dinosaur Hunter. Mikey, my brother, why don't you give us a little background on everyone's favorite dinosaur hunter and some of the weird different ways he has come and gone and been around.
Nope. I'm going to let Josh do that because Josh had the beginning part of Turok's history.
Sure. He paid me a dollar.
Dang it. All right. So Turok actually starts off as Turok, Son of Stone, like a Native American-ish title. It is starts in the mid to late 50s. It is published by Dell Comics or created by Dell Comics and distributed by Golden Key. The first Turok one shot, he is teamed up with a character called Young Hawk. It is a more of a Lone Ranger-ish story at the time. And then later on in the story, he basically starts off as a teenager, a very, very young person in the tribe, and then basically gets there's a switch. I don't remember what issue. I think it was like issue 19 or 20. They basically catapult him into a time jump into being an adult. Initially, some of the strange creatures he encounters are not necessarily dinosaurs, but eventually he does start picking up some of that sort of historical dinosaur-ish like things. Yeah, that comic pretty much disappears after – I mean, not very quickly, but disappears after like 130 issues. And then in the early 90s, Valiant Comics picks him up again, and he's very strange in this initial pickup.
Yeah, so Valiant Comics was formed by Jim Shooter and a few other guys, and they were pillaging Marvel Comics back in the early 1990s. One of the first guys that Bob Layton was able to bring over was Dave Macalini, who was famous coming off a Spider-Man run and an Iron Man run. And the idea is they had bought some of the gold key characters like Solar, XO, Man of War. Turok, Solar, Man of the Atom.
Magnus, maybe?
Magnus, Robot Fighter. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Thank
Magnus
you, LT.
Magnus, Robot Fighter. That's a good pull there, LT.
And so they wanted to do a new take on him. They kind of pulled him out of the Gold Key continuity and the Whitman continuity and brought him in on an event called Unity, where he was ripped out of time and he lands in South America along with a bunch of dinosaurs who are cybernetically enhanced, which is really weird. Later on, a different writer takes over and he evolves from hunting cybernetic dinosaurs to hunting regular dinosaurs that have now spread throughout the United States. So he has to go track them down at the behest of government officials. So it's really strange. For some reason, Turok, even though he's a pre-Columbian Native American, speaks English. Yeah, I guess you got to take the good with the bad. It's his book went from really bizarre dinosaurs armed with cybernetics to dinosaurs who had magical powers. It was strange shit that was going on over at Valiant. But after a while, Valiant lost steam. After 47 issues, the comic closed, and it didn't start again until Acclaim Comics. And they only had a few issues of Turok, Son of Stone, and then it gets sold to Dark Horse Comics, right, LT?
Yeah, and Dark Horse really only produced 4 issues of the Turok Son of Stone series, and Jim Shooter was it once again writing on it. It was back in 2010. But what Dark Horse did was they've reprinted all of the old Dell comics in trade form. So they kind of kept Turok alive, and then they allowed Dynamite to once again pick up the Turok mantle. And Turok has once again been produced by Dynamite. And they also took Turok on some weird, strange tales. I think I covered one of the trades in one of the back of the long boxes before. And in the second trade was an okay story about Turok fighting a group of people. If you take the word Genghis Khan out of the comic, it wasn't that bad. But if you leave Genghis Khan, the words in the comic, it's like, really? You had to make this kind of horrible by bringing Genghis Khan into it? But he meets a woman who is scouting for an army flying a...
Yeah, the word you're always going to be looking for is dinosaur. You don't have to search for a word there. She's flying a winged something. It's a dinosaur.
It's a dinosaur. The dinosaur is injured, and you know, Turok takes care of the dinosaur and helps her and befriends her.
Wait,
and
Turok takes care of the dinosaur? Like he kills it, right? Is that what you mean?
No.
He puts it down?
You mean take care of him? Take care of him?
No. He actually didn't kill this dinosaur. It was crazy.
Wait, Turok dinosaur healer?
No, this is... That
is it an offshoot? Is it...
No,
that's an odd twist.
None of this is
an odd twist. Yeah, it was a little bizarre. Turok is like, you know, basically kidnapped by this city that this woman was scouting out so that Genghis Khan's hordes could take it over.
Of course he is. He's saving dinosaurs, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You don't want
that
guy walking around.
Well, he was taking over because he was riding a dinosaur. And it was bizarre, but it was okay. And, you know, it would have been much better if they had just taken out all of the historical figures that they had put into it, out of it.
Yeah, that's the problem that you had with the whole story. Right.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs, no big deal. The medieval knights from the previous story.
If you were,
but Genghis Khan, well, fuck you! How dare you?
I mean, and LT's defense, Genghis Khan is a total dick.
Yeah. Genghis Khan was a total dick, but he also was not needed in a story about southern Brazil.
It's true, but
you get over there on a dinosaur. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Yeah. That's how you get over the sea, Mike. You got to fly, man. You can't.
You got to fly.
Hold on, horses. Genghis Khan, you need flying dinosaurs.
I've read a book. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's practical.
It's just science. So
Science. Yeah, the Dynamite Comics transition actually mostly came through because DreamWorks has a deal with Dynamite Comics, and DreamWorks wanted the rights for the video game. So they pulled the comic into Dynamite. DreamWorks animation. Now, it's not animation. It's a sub, like Classics or DreamWorks something. They actually wanted the intellectual property for the video game. And they also eventually wanted the intellectual property because they were trying to make a Turok Dinosaur Hunter film. So they were going to use Dynamite to sort of write the storylines for that. And so Dynamite sort of picked that up and carried the banner for a little while, and then they let it drop. And then they picked it back up again in 2017 with DreamWorks thinking once again they were going to put out a movie, which, of course, they did not. So the title is sort of like been dragged along, like kicking and screaming, with hopefully a movie deal somewhere in there that never seems to come to fruition.
There was a movie, though.
Is there a shitty movie? Like,
it's not, an animated movie called Turok, Son of Stone.
Oh, really? Was it put out by DreamWorks?
No.
Is this pre-2010 or 11?
Yeah. Okay. 2008, it was called Turok, Son of Stone, released by Classic Media. I have not seen it.
Okay.
Because I've never really been a fan. Even though I have the entire Valiant run, I've tried to read some of that Dynamite schlep you were just talking about, LT, and it even though it was free on Comixology, I felt like somebody had stolen a half hour of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah.
There are much better things to read.
I mean, it was just, like I said, it was just okay. It was not like, I've read worse. I mean, like, you know. North Star getting married, that was worse, but this was not something I would go out and buy either.
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't for everybody. I can't even name another comic book that's anywhere close to Turok Dinosaur Hunter. Does anyone like Kazar of the Savage Land is the closest I can get, and it's way better. Well, can anyone think of something in the genre?
Of Native American fighting dinosaurs?
Yeah.
It's a pretty specific genre.
It's pretty narrow focus.
It is pretty narrow.
I mean, Warlord was they had dinosaurs at least.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But it was way better writing, of course, by our good friend Mike Grell.
I guess Arrak, Son of Thunder, who was in the 1980s.
But that was more of a Cole Conan ripoff.
No, well, it was definitely, he was a Native American, and he did fight magic users, and he did occasionally fight a dinosaur.
I don't remember dinosaurs in that one, but that's...
Because dinosaurs sell.
Yeah.
Slap a dinosaur on a cover.
In the 2008 animated film Turok, Mike, the guy who voiced Turok is Slipknot in Suicide Squad.
Ooh, he was on...
Coincidence? I think so.
No, yeah, you're probably right.
So, but Turok really wasn't for everybody. I never gave a crap about Turok. And I had a bunch of the comic books just because I'd buy a bunch at, yard sales and shit. And everyone wanted to get rid of their Turok because no one really got them. They're kind of an odd comic book. It's like if Conan wasn't written well is the way I kind of put it.
Yeah. I just loved dinosaurs when I was a kid. I would read anything with dinosaurs in it.
So you read these.
Challenge accepted. Go ahead. Read them.
He's not a child anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new ones.
He's got Comixology.
I've not seen the new ones. But yeah, like I would just see like dinosaurs on covers and I'd be like, oh. I mean, it was like, you know, like the spinning rack at the pharmacy kind of comics. Not like going to my comic store. But, you know, you saw, you know, a guy like stalking a dinosaur with a bow and you're like, oh. I'm going to read that.
It's going to be cool.
That's going to be cool.
There's a story behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a mystery.
Probably not a very good one.
That guy might be hungry. He might be out for vengeance. That dinosaur might have done him wrong. You don't know.
Yeah, cheat him at cards. Who knows?
Yeah.
Sauron! What?
I like dinosaurs.
Yeah, I like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, I really did not care about this character until about 1997 when Turok Dinosaur Hunter, the video game, came out. This video game pushed the Nintendo 64 to its utter limits when it comes to graphics, and it was a really groundbreaking game. There was nothing as good out there on a console game at the time. Now, when I say at the time, its time was only 2 months. Because, boom, GoldenEye dropped in June, Turok dropped in March. So for March, April, May, right up until GoldenEye came out, Turok was like blowing fanboys away. No one had done a first-person shooter that allowed you to climb stairs and hide behind a wall and shoot somebody with this or go at them like that. So it was a really, really big deal. And I couldn't understand why they put this huge video game engine all in behind, of all things, Turok, Son of Stone. It was just, it blew my mind. Like,
really? You were like, I can't understand why a video game company wanted a guy with a bow to kill dinosaurs in a first person shooter? Because that sounds awesome to me.
Half the time we didn't have a bow, and it was all going after the Chronoceptor, and it was all this other fascinatingly dumb stuff.
I'm just saying. Somebody was like, you know what? We should have a first person shooter where we get to murder dinosaurs. And they're like, let's just find out what does that now and buy that title.
So, hey, Greg, does anything do that? Hold on. Clickety, clickety, clicky, 4 hours later because the internet's slow.
Just put that up for me.
Ziggity, 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 ziggity. I got an 8-bit document here that says just the word Turok.
Yes.
I mean, everything Turok.
Inner Astro Man still playing out, by the way. That just reminds me of Man or Astro Man. Carry on.
Thank you.
So Acclaim spent $65 million to acquire all of the Valiant rights. They also had a Ninjak game, right?
Ninjak?
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a game.
Didn't make it to PC, that's for sure.
Yeah, they did.
Console, I just spent.
Acclaim was cranking out the video games, and they were like, we'll also be a comic book publisher, and their comics were not very good at all. There might have been a few hidden gems, but if I haven't found them yet. No, that's not true. Actually, Garth Ennis wrote Shadow Man. So that was good. That was it.
All right. Ninjak was a video game, and I think Josh and I might have played it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, I'll look at a screenshot, and I will tell you. Ninjak.
Wait, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a real video game. It only made it into the comics. I was fooled by the headers on my search. 18 appearances of Ninjak, the video game. They started selling the video game in their comic books, but it never got made.
Wow.
Wow. And it was supposed to be published by Acclaim Entertainment in the 90s.
All right. Yeah. Not so much.
Not so much. So, Turok, Son of Stone, a lot of different people carried that ball, and a lot of people went with this character. I mean, a lot of people had an idea that this was going to go someplace. Anybody know why? I mean, you made the thing. A guy hunting a dinosaur with a bow is cool, but I can't remember any of the other characters. I can't remember
Andar?
A notable – who's that?
Andar.
You're just saying letters to me. I don't know who Andor was.
Andor was, depending on which series, he was either the brother of Turok or the rival of Turok. Yeah, he's not memorable. Forget I even said it. LT, okay. you've read more Turok than probably anybody here.
Yeah. On the planet.
What do you think? Andor, probably the most popular of the other characters?
Yes. Probably. Yeah,
you're just agreeing with me to agree with me. Don't pity
At least he was in the Comixology Dynamite series.
Yeah, there you
why did we all agree to do a 20-part series on Turok?
You suggested it, and we were like, this sounds like a plan.
I think we're having to cut the Turok.
We all love Turok, Tom.
I will admit I had a lot of the comic books because no one would trade with me after I got them. Hey, man, anybody want to trade some Turoks? Nah, man.
We're still good.
Even Josh at 8 years old didn't want to read the Dinosaur Hunting Bow Guy that much. Not to trade me a Marvel comic for.
It's true. Yeah. But I did love dinosaurs.
Ooh, yeah, at that age, everyone loved dinosaurs. Come on, man.
Come on, son.
It's like being in your 30s and loving beer. It's just one of the things that happens.
Yeah, that one stuck though.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up a little bit here, guys. Does anyone have any last thoughts on Turok on its own? I think it's going to go down in history more as being known for the video game. If you talk to, Joe Schmo on the street, they probably won't even know it was a comic book. But if they're video game nerds, they'll probably know it was a game.
I think you're going to be surprised within the next 3, maybe 4 years, there's going to be a very well-crafted animated movie by DreamWorks for Turok. I'm going to give it 5 years, 5-year stretch.
You know what? It's not even going to be animated. It's going to be live action, and it's going to star Steve Gutenberg.
What?
Just throwing that out there right now.
No, no.
Hollywood, you're welcome.
It's 5 years from now. You know who's going to have time to get buff? The kid from Gotham.
Sure.
Sure.
Whatever that kid's name is. He's got 5 years to fill out.
It's 5 years from now. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see them do a CG version of Christopher Walken doing Turok.
Hey, dinosaur.
Whoa, hold your...
What we need is more dinosaur bell.
I can't get enough of the dinosaur. All I do is shoot dinosaurs and produce gold records, baby. And I'm all done with the record business, so we're shooting some dinosaurs.
We've just gone straight Brooklyn on Christopher Walken. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know why either. You can't do accents. That's why.
Can't do accents. I can't do walks.
Enough with the scooching. I've killed the dinosaurs. Enough with the scooching, children.
All right.
Tough one.
Well, all right. I guess that does it for our little bit on Turok, Son of Stone. I think it'll most be remembered for video games. Josh, you were just at PAX East. Do you have a tangent for us? And how was PAX East?
Yeah, so my tangent, I'll take my time and just talk about PAX East. First, I'd like to thank, I just happened to be able to volunteer for Larian Studios, creators of Divinity 2, and just before we started the event, they announced a release of a new game called Fallen Heroes. They are working in coordination with Logic Artists, a company that makes the Expedition series. It's a tactical sort of XCOM mission-based version of the Divinity engine. I just want to thank the Larian Studio folks for letting me come by, and they were really generous to the volunteers. They took us out for some great dinners, some drinks, and it was a good time. They treated us very well. The booth was a lot of fun to run. It was great to meet people, and it was supporting one of my favorite game series. PAX was, it was a lot of folks. It was jam-packed. There were a lot of announcements. I didn't get a lot of time on the floor. I got to meet a couple of people I have had previously only talked to online. So I got to meet my virtual dungeon master, Casey, and a friend who I call my virtual coworker that we hang out when we're both bored, Sarah, which is really nice. I got to play some Adventure League Dungeons & Dragons, which was cool. And I got to check out I'm going to recommend two video games I just happened to see, one called Warsaw. If anybody happens to be a fan of Darkest Dungeon, it is a very similar set to Darkest Dungeon, except it is the uprising of the Polish resistance in Warsaw in World War II. So any game where you get to shoot Nazis is pretty cool, and the gameplay is pretty awesome. And then there was one that was just so bizarre that I just loved it, and I can't wait to play it. It's called Buildings Have Feelings Too, and you're basically a building walking around a city trying to help other buildings be the best buildings they can be.
It does sound awesome, but I was hoping it would be the building's perspective from the Rampage video game.
That would be awesome.
No!
It was only the demo. I don't know if they're ever going to be attacked by monsters, but there are like certain scenarios you have to fight, and you're like collecting resources, and it's just hilarious because you're just a walking brownstone with legs to start the game, like
so
helping other buildings.
You're Tony Robbins. You don't have to change shit. Giant banana ham.
Do you start out as a tenement?
Just totally bizarre, but totally compelling. So, but I had a good time, here in Boston at PAX East, and yeah, thank you, Larian Studios, for that. And Jess Applesgard, who was our community organizer. She was awesome.
Where was the best place, Jay? Because I know the worst place, Jay, had to be Larry J's Barbecue.
Yeah, Larry J's wasn't great. Sorry, I recommended that. And I also thought there was some sort of indoor thing there, and there wasn't. We had a city tap, which is pretty good. And Larian Studios actually took us to Strega on the Waterfront, which is a pretty damn good meal.
Damn fine. All right. Thank you for that, Josh. Great wrap-up. I know a lot of people went to that. We should really talk to our good friends, Gamer Needs Food Badly. I'm sure they would love to come up to PAX next time to volunteer. Mikey,
yes.
What do you got at the front of the long box for us, sir?
At the front of the long box, I have the latest comic from DC's young adult line, Wonder Comics. It is Dial H for Hero. Now,
ooh, I loved Dial H for Hero when I was a kid.
I also loved Dial H for Hero. We should do a podcast just about Dial H for Hero because it's much better than Turok Dinosaur Hunter. However, I will say that for this series is not for me. If you are a young adult, this might be the series for you. The main character in it, Miguel, gets saved by Superman when he was a kid, and now he has a inexplicable death wish and keeps on putting himself into dangerous situations in order to get the rush that he had when Superman rescued him. He's not a well-adjusted person. They have taken the Dial H and made it a magical phone that just appears, which doesn't make a lot of sense. It's kind of pretty much thrown out the whole Dial H mythology in view of this new one. So that's kind of made me bitter about it, seeing I really love the old one. If you don't know what Dial H was, it was a dial, and if you typed it, or if you dialed H-E-R-O, you would become a different superhero every time. And if you dialed it in reverse, you became a supervillain.
Or, by the way, there's one other. If you dialed H-O-R-R-O-R, you became a monster.
Yes. Arr. Yeah. And there were two dials, and it was a boy and a girl team. And okay. It was very cool. When I was a kid, I used to write into DC Comics suggesting superheroes for them to transform in, but they never made it.
But that, and by the way, let's mention that that was something they encouraged, not just something little fanboy Mike did on a whim.
No, yeah, they asked for you to send in your suggestions with drawings, which is probably why they never took mine, because I cannot draw. I was like, this is Stick Man. He has all the powers of a very brittle stick.
Ooh, but they did take some suggestions, and I thought that was really cool. So they were letting, you know, the fans have their first crack at a little fan fiction.
Yeah.
Stealing, it was fun. It was a great comic.
Stealing intellectual property rights from children.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Great idea. That's ours now. Thanks.
Speaking of which, what do you got at the back of the long box here, Tommy?
I'm going to go with the classic Iron Man Armor Wars.
Classic.
Iron Man 225 to 232, or you can find it in trades. This starts out with Tony Stark going up against Force in a training exercise and realizing that armor was based on his designs. And then he comes to realize that a lot of the different armors in the Marvel Universe are really based on his designs that were stolen from him by Spymaster. And so he just goes on a tear in the Marvel Universe and tries to take out as much of his tech that's in these armors as he can. And he starts with going after Mikey's favorite, Stiltman.
I don't know how he was able to defeat Stiltman. It still boggles my mind. It's because there was Stark Tech in it, and Stark Tech is obviously inferior.
Yeah. If it was a hammer stilt suit.
Yeah.
He'd still be running amok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amok, I say.
Amok. So Tony Stark didn't really care who he went after or, you know, he just was determined to get rid of all of his tech out of the armors, good guy or bad guy. It didn't matter to him. He was really concerned that somebody was stealing his tech and that it could be used for wrong. And so he went after hero and villain alike. He even went after people that didn't have his armor just in the thinking that it was based on his armor. He fought Stingray, who was a government agent and part of the Avengers, and he did not have Stark armor at all, which got him on the government's shit list. It was a really bad scene because Tony Stark started becoming less of a hero and more of an outlaw at the time. But it was a really great story, and I recommend people read it.
And it was written by Dave Michelinie, who also wrote Turok, Dinosaur Hunter.
Cool. See how it all comes together.
What? Is that true, Mike?
Oh, it's totally true.
It's totally true.
So he had some good stories in him. He just didn't want to use them all up on the dinosaur guy.
He just knew Valiant was going to fold, so he didn't want to waste them all at Valiant.
Similarly, Turok was trying to go around to all the dinosaurs to figure out which ones were part Turok.
And stole his tech.
Stole his tech.
Yeah, one stole my tech. It has my arrowhead right inside of it.
It's right inside his head. I can see it. Right
through Tyrannosaurus Rex, you have like a tiny little tomahawk. Yes, you do. I can see it up there.
I can see that arrowhead. It's still attached to the shaft.
He said shaft.
Now you're just getting dirty. Tom, I liked where you were going, and I want to read that comic.
Where the Tyrannosaurus Rex figures out how to use a tiny little tomahawk and becomes unstoppable. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I'd read that, too.
Yeah.
His name is Tim. Turok Hunter.
And the split-off book will be Tim the T-Rex Cooking with Tim, where he's a master chef.
I so want to see Tim Turok Hunter now.
I hope the N64 comes back so we can make a game. Like, no one expects a little dinosaur tomahawk being thrown at you. Like, what?
No one expects the Tim T Rex mod on that game.
It's like the Easter egg. You get to turn the tables.
Well, I guess that brings us over to plugs, guys. Anyone have anything good to plug?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. We'd also like to thank our, I guess, the fifth long box guy, Mark Russell. If you haven't checked out our podcast interview with him, go ahead to YouTube. Search for the Long Box Guys, and we've got the first part of our interview on there. In addition to that, we've got some other videos, Josh's Secret Origin. Eventually, I will get off my ass and put Tom's Secret Origin up there, too. Someday.
And everyone's going to record their office and put that up there someday, right, guys?
It's like 27 hours of cleaning my office and then videotaping it.
Yeah. No cleaning the office, man. You warts and all, buddy.
All right.
Warts and all.
I'll plug a new video game, Fallen Heroes from Larian Studios, that I repped at PAX. It's expected to release late this year. It is the tactics version of Divinity 2. Go check it out.
I do love some tactics game. As I was telling Josh, Brigadine, favorite game of all time. No one remembers it, but I loved it. I want to plug BeerTube, our good friend Josh's new venture, where he takes two beers, one a major beer and one a
local craft,
and he puts them head to head. What's the last beer video you made? What were the two beers?
Well, this week should be the Sam Adams Hazy Pale versus Widowmaker's Greenbush Pale Ale.
Greenbush. Oh, wait, I got a tagline for you. How about this? Drink like you mean it.
All right, still working on those.
Kind of like that. I kind of like this.
I'm not like song, theme song's back up.
Thanks. I like that theme song. Came out good. Tommy, got anything to plug?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses. And I don't know what Tom's doing. He's like, he's putting money in the jar. He had another dirty thought. He's put money in the jar. And apparently, they also provide jars for Tom to put money in.
Oh, if only they did.
I would like to thank our friends over at NovelErotics.com. Also, if you go over there now, you can get 25% off your purchase. Just tell them the Long Box guy sent you. That's not what's going to get you the 25% off. It's clicking that little widget they have. But tell them that we sent you.
Yeah. Tell them we sent you.
Did your cousin enjoy the
I have
prize?
Not heard from her, so I don't, I'm not going to hazard
enjoying
a guess.
It.
I assume so.
Wait, you haven't heard from her? There was a lot of bondage equipment in that particular box. You sure she's okay?
Well, I've seen her on TV since, so I assume she's okay. But if she, I have to, you know, monitor at the, her morning broadcast for the safe word.
Thunderstorm. Why'd you say that? You're the economics girl. I know. Thunderstorm. I repeat, thunderstorm.
And if you're wondering what book she got from Novel Erotics, it's the Hotel Affair Fantasy novel, available $49, but 25% off. Again, just tell them the long box guy sent you. You can get a black rosette adorned satin blindfold with tie sashes, soft cotton rope, black 32 feet or 10 meters, depending, a bunny mini massager, vibrator in purple, single speed, waterproof, with two watch batteries included, a low temperature wax drip candles, discreet storage box, sandalwood bubble bath. Wow, there's a lot of stuff in there.
There's a lot of stuff in that box.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Tom's That's putting another dollar in that jar.
Nothing else.
Tom's giving himself an electric shock right now.
Just where it counts. All right, I guess that does it for this week on the Long Box, guys. Josh, you're going to be at AmpGuard this weekend. Well, maybe not this weekend. You're going to be in AmpGuard with us in a couple weeks, LARPing it up with us. Is that your sector?
Absolutely. It's totally in my sector. I cannot wait. I got the glaive for the save, and I got my outfit ready to go.
Mariner Moontide. We're all, some of us are doing a little bit of LARPing this summer. It is the summer of adventure. I really suggest all of our many, many fans join us in the summer of adventure. We're going to do whatever stupid adventurous thing comes along. I swear it.
And are you going to post pictures on our Twitter account?
Oh, yeah.
At the Long Box Guys?
At the Long Box Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, youtube.com/thelongboxguys. We're going to be there. We're going to be at patreon.com/thelongboxguys. We're going to be everywhere you want to be. We're like MasterCard, but actually entertaining.
If we have some really, really, really stupid videos of us getting whacked on at a LARP, we're definitely putting it on the Patreon first.
Definitely.
And if you want to see Josh get hit in the face with a foam weapon, and who doesn't, go to our Patreon /or/, I can never remember, the Long Box Guys, and you can see that. But also, you can hear our weekly other podcast, The GOAT, Greatest of All Time. This week, I think we talked about the greatest television shows featuring superheroes of the 70s. Bigfoot and Wild Boy did not make the cut.
Neither did Holmes and Yo-Yo. Sorry to spoil the surprise.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't remember Holmes and Yo-Yo that much.
It was a cop show where one of the cops was a robot.
Holmes and Yo-Yo.
I don't remember this at all.
How do you guys not remember Holmes and Yo-Yo? It was one of
Because I was probably two. Why I don't remember it.
Oh, would the magician have been
in Holmes and Yo-Yo make it to freaking syndication?
Sure.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is YouTube syndicated?
Yeah. I'm looking for it now.
And Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, what are you going to do for an adventure this summer? Give us one adventurous thing you're going to do. Come on, buddy.
It's called work.
Very adventurous.
Every day is a horrible, horrible adventure.
The adventure you get paid for.
You could have hunted a T-Rex with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would so prefer to hunt a T-Rex with a bow and arrow, but it doesn't pay as much.
Teach a T-Rex how to throw a tomahawk or something.
The health insurance for hunting a T-Rex with a bow and arrow sucks.
Oh, just the rates.
Not as bad as being a diabetic in a desk job. It's about the same, dude. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Summer of adventure. I invite you all to join me.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Did I ever tell you about the time I saw a rhino piss all over a woman and her child?
Yeah.
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 It's a great story.
You opened many conversations with that.
Still awesome.